Well, hello there, New Life Fellowship. I am recording our service from yesterday. Yesterday we had some technical difficulties, and so we weren't able to audio or video record. We are still trying to figure out what happened there, and hopefully we won't have that problem again in the future. But I wanted to share with you the message that we had yesterday, minus the music. But before that, I want to give you just a couple of announcements of what's going on at church and what's taking place. First of all, life groups are going to be starting again here in September, and we're doing just one life group. It's called Love Does, and it's by Bob Goff. And following that Love Does life group, we're doing another Bob Goff one called Everybody Always. This is a fantastic series that we're going to go through. We're going to have life groups here at the church. We're also going to have groups in people's homes and one online. And so this coming Sunday, we're going to encourage you to sign up for the life groups of where you want to get involved in. And it's so, so, so important to be connected. Now more than ever is to be connected, to be seen by others and to build relationships. And I know we still have that social distancing going on, and we want to respect that and honor that. But it's so important that we get in back into the habit of being connected with one another. And life groups is part of that. Now, the other announcement I want to share with you is Labor Day weekend is coming up here in a couple of weeks. We are canceling our Sunday service, but we're actually moving that to our Friday night service. And so on Friday night, we have a special service planned outside. We're doing it outside, guys. Back that up. Now, the other announcement I want to share with you is Labor Day weekend. Labor Day weekend is coming up here in a couple of weeks, and we are moving our Sunday service to a Friday night service, and it's going to be an outdoor service. And I'm super excited about this. It's going to be so much fun. We're going to do it outside. We're going to have the music message, the special musical stuff going on, and then followed by some ice cream. Now, my boys work at an ice cream place called Casper's. You may have heard of it. We are ordering some of their Fat Boy ice creams that we're going to give to everybody, and it's going to be awesome. And so it's going to be great on Friday night service, Labor Day weekend. Sunday service is going to be canceled because we're moving it to Friday night. So those are the two things that are taking place at church. Life groups coming up, and then the Friday night special service. And so we're excited about that. I want to get into God's Word today. And just talk about the weight and wonder of worship. We're going to be in Psalm 95, but we're also going to be in Exodus. And one of the things I want to share with you is just how awesome it is to worship God. And I think sometimes we miss that. We forget the weight and the wonder of what it means to worship God. That we could come into, I'm in the church sanctuary right now, come into the sanctuary and worship God. We could do it in our homes where we can worship God. And I think sometimes we forget that. We kind of go through the motions of worship. We go through the motions of church service. We go through that. I've been going to church my whole life, 49 years old, been going to church my whole life. And one thing you notice is you can kind of predict, okay, we're going to sing a song here, it's going to be fast, then we're going to go slow, they're going to do some announcements, the preacher's going to come up, afterwards we're going to greet one another, you know, and you could kind of predict what's going to happen. And if we're not careful, it becomes routine, and we forget the wonder and the weight of worship, that we are in this place to worship God, to seek God and to come into his presence. And there's this passage in Exodus 19, and it's just this incredible passage. And I want you to get the scene here, the imagery of what is taking place. Is God has brought the people of Israel out of slavery into this, heading to the promised land. But the primary purpose, and you can see it in the calling of Moses, the primary purpose of what God wanted them to do when the Israelites came out of slavery was to worship him, to worship God. That was why he brought them out, to worship God. And he brings them to Mount Sinai, and you get this image. Look at this image. It says, on the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightning and a thick cloud around the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. And so the people of the camp, they trembled. And then Moses brought the people out to the camp to meet God. And they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord descended on fire. The smoke went up like a smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as a sound of a trumpet grew louder, and this is trumpets from heaven, sounds of trumpets grew louder and louder. Moses spoke, and God answered him and brought Moses up. So you get this picture, you get this image here. And I want you to get this. There's this mountain, and there's this smoke, and there's trumpets, and there's lightning, and there's thunder. God is ascending on this mountain. God is ascending, and He's inviting Moses up, but no one could touch the mountain. No one can come near. They trembled in fear at the presence of God. Now you fast forward past Jesus Christ comes, and he redeems us, and he puts us in right relationship with God, where the writer of Hebrews says that we could come into the throne room of grace boldly and with confidence, and we could come and worship him. And the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 12, 18 now describes our worship, and he describes it this way. He says, for you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and a darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further message be spoken to them. So he says, you have not come to this mountain like they did in Exodus, where you couldn't touch the mountain, where there was smoke and there was fire and there's all this fear that come up. He says, for they could not even endure the order that was given. Even if a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. It was so terrifying, it says, was the sight of Moses. Moses said, I trembled with fear. But this is what the writer of Hebrews says, because of what Jesus Christ. But you have come to the Mount Zion, in the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in a festival gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God and the judge of all, the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the sprinkled blood that speaks better word than the blood of Abel. So I want you to get this. This is so important. So important for us to understand. In the Old Testament, before Christ, there was God ascended on this mountain, trumpet smoke, and only Moses come up, but he was coming up with fear and trembling. No one could touch the mountain because of fear. And now through Jesus Christ, we're not coming to that kind of mountain. We are coming into the throne room of grace through Jesus Christ, and we can worship him. And so we come to our psalm today, Psalm 95, and it speaks on worship. And that's why I want us to grasp is that we need to come to this understanding of the wonder and the privilege, really the privilege we have to worship God, to seek God, to come into his presence. And so what helps us to get to that is to remember who we are worshiping and to realize how we are to worship. And so that's what Psalms 95 says, and I'm going to read it for us. It says, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with a song of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are also his. The sea is his, for he made it. And the hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah on the day of Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof. Though they may have seen my work for 40 years, I loathe that generation, said they are a people who go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. Therefore, I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And so that's Psalm 95, and it speaks to who we are to worship, and it speaks to how we are to worship. And so first, to remember who we are to worship, it says that He is the Lord of all. He is the great God. He is the self-existent Lord of all. He is the great God. Twice in the verse, it talks about how great he is, that we come to God who is majestic, who is powerful, who is sovereign, who is the King, who is the Lord. He is the great Lord of all. He is great God. It says that he is the supreme King above all gods, that he is the capital K, not the little k, that he is the capital G, not the little g. He is the capital L, not the little l. He is the King of all kings. He is the Lord over all lords. I mean, listen, there are people in this life who have influence. There are people in this life who have power. There will always be people of influence and people of power, people in positions and authority and all those things. But they all submit and surrender to the King of all kings. They all surrender to him. Doesn't matter. I mean, we're going to come into this presidential election here of wondering who to vote for. Donald Trump, Joe Biden, Kanye West. It doesn't matter. Whoever, maybe you write in your mom or Aunt Helga or whatever, you know, and you're wondering who's going to be an authority. The supreme authority, the sovereign king over all, is God. And so we need to remember who we are worshiping. He is the creator of the universe. It says that in his hands are the depths of the earth. The mountains are his also, the sea. He has made it. Do you see the creator, God, in his hands are the depths of the earth. The mountains are his. The sea is his. Everything. You may think you own a piece of property. You may think you own money. You may think you own this or that. Yeah, you may own it according to a title or whatever, but he is the owner of it all. And that's why we give. We give of our offering, not because we are like tipping God, but we give because he is the owner of all things, and we give to him. He is the owner of all. We worship the creator of the universe who holds the universe in his hand. That's who we are worshiping. Next, we worship him because he is the maker who sustains us. The very reason we come into a sanctuary, the very reason we sing songs, the very reason we do these things is because he created it. He created our lungs. He gives us breath that we may sing. He gives us a tongue, a mouth, a voice, vocal cords that we may worship. He gives us hands that we can lift up. He gives us knees that we can bow down to. He is the creator of all, and he is the one who sustains us. It says that he's the shepherd who leads us. I talked about Psalm 23 a few weeks ago, that he leads us beside still waters. He provides for our needs. He prepares a table in front of our enemies. He is a good shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us. He is that good shepherd. He is watching over us. He is taking care of us. So the question is this that comes to my mind is, if he's all these things, which he is, if he's all these things, if he is the Lord of all, he's the King of all kings, he is the creator, he is the sustainer, he is the shepherd, why would he want to do that? Why would he want to do that for us? Why would he want to have a relationship with you? And how could he do it? If he's so holy and righteous, how could he have a relationship with us? And the answer to that is back to verse 1, is that he is the rock who delivers us. He is the rock of our salvation. He is the one that sustains us. Going back to the example in Exodus, no one could come to the mountain. No one could even touch the mountain out of fear of death. But in Hebrews, we do not have to fear. We could come boldly into the throne of grace. Why? Because of Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. We were lost in our sin. We were in the depravity of our sin. We were in the muck and the mire of our sin. And you know it, if you've received Christ in your life, where you were at in your life, where you were lost, and how he redeemed you, how he saved you, how he brought you out of the miry clay. And set, the writer of Psalm says, he set our feet on a solid rock. He put a new song of praise within our mouth. And so he is the rock of our salvation. And so this is God. And it's all through Jesus Christ. Look at these verses that says that who Jesus Christ is. Revelation 19:16. Talks about that he is the King, Lord of all. He says, on his robe is on his thigh, he has a name written on it, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So he is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:16, for him all things were created, creator of heaven and earth, the maker of all things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions. He's the ruler of over authorities. All things were created through him and for him. Colossians 1:17, and before all things and in him, he holds it all together. Jesus Christ holds it all together. John 10:11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And so Jesus Christ is the one. Do you see it? Do you see it? It all points to Jesus. Jesus is our rock. He's our salvation. He is the one we are worshiping. He is the one we are worshiping. He, Jesus, is God. And we get to come. We get to come into his throne room. We get to come and worship. We get to come and bow down. We get to come and sing. It's a privilege. Do we get the weight? Do we get the wonder and the honor of what it means to worship God? That this should not be routine. That this should not be going through the motions. This should not be, oh, I like that song or this song. This is worship to God. So that's who we are worshiping. We're worshiping God. Now, how do we do that? How do we worship? Verses 1, 2, and 6 says we sing. We sing. No, it's a unique thing. No other place, I mean, that you go and the whole congregation is singing. Not just one song, but multiple songs. It's a unique thing because what happens is songs resonate with our spirit. Songs resonate with our soul. I remember, you know, songs are songs that come up. I like listening to 80s music because it resonates for a time that I grew up in, 70s and 80s. I love it. And it touches a part of your soul, and you recall a song of where you had that first dance with a girl. You recall that song when you broke up with that girl. Songs have a tendency to minister to you and touch an emotional part of who you are, emotional part of your being. And so when we sing, it touches this emotional part where we are worshiping and singing and expressing emotion to God through singing. And so there are songs that touch my heart in life. I think of old hymns and choruses. Some of my favorite songs growing up, Oh, 4,000 Tongues to Sing. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. It is well with my soul. When we all get to heaven, I'll fly away. Amazing grace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Then there's other songs like choruses. How great is our God? How great is our God? What a beautiful name it is. I can only imagine the wonderful cross, the revelation song. We sang that on Sunday. Too bad you can't hear that one. I will praise him. Oh, man. Just these songs that when they come, there's something within your soul that gets you excited. You're like, yes, this is my expression of praise. This is my expression of worship. This is touching an emotional part of who I am, and I am worshiping God. Next, it says we shout to him. It says that we make a joyful noise to the Lord. Other translation says we shout joyfully to him. I think the shouting is just not this chaotic shouting to God, although that may happen, but I think it's when you are singing and you get to that point in the song and your voice gets a little louder and you get a little excited and you just begin to shout out to God. You begin to, yes, I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, God, from the depths. You're just shouting out these praises to God. Similar like in a sermon when you're listening to a message and you agree with the point of the message, you agree with the word of God and you shout amen, you shout hallelujah. I would encourage you to do that. Don't worry about what other people may be saying. Just continue to do that and just say, yes, I agree with God's word there. It speaks to my heart. It says that we bow down before him. Verse 6 says that we bow down, we kneel before the Lord. One thing that's nice about right now with our sanctuary is that we have space between chairs that we can kneel before God. I think it's fully appropriate to come during worship, during songs, to come to the altar and kneel before God. It's this act of humility and humbling ourselves before God. I would encourage you to do this even in your private prayer time, that when you read God's word and you spend time reading his word and praying, that you would take a moment and just turn and kneel at your bed or at a couch or chair, and you're just kneeling. It's something of changing our posture before the King. We come and we give him thanks and praise for who he is. It says, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us sing songs of praise. And so it's totally appropriate to thank God for who he is. I thank you, God, for saving me. I thank you for redeeming me. I thank you for my wife. I thank you for my children. I thank you for my spouse. I thank you for education. I thank you for all these different things. Begin to thank God for all that he's done. Thank you that I could come, and thank you. Thank you for all these different blessings. And I think it's totally appropriate every Sunday that we spend time thanking and praising God, and we lift, it says, make a joyful noise of praise to him. And then, so these are specific things that we normally do. We sing, we bow, we shout, we give thanks, we give praise. But we also need to listen humbly to him. Verse 7 says, today if you hear my voice. I don't know how many times I've had people come to me, and it's not often, but throughout my ministerial career, I've had people come to me and say, man, worship was so good, we didn't even need the preaching. Like, if the preaching is not part of the worship. But preaching is part of it, that we listen. The part of the reason in Exodus, or in Exodus, where God was angry with them, is that they didn't follow with what God said for them to do. They heard, but they didn't walk in obedience. And so we need to hear. Worship is part of, we get to open up God's word. We not only get to come to a place and worship God, we get to hear from God. It's a two-way street. We worship, we praise him, we exalt him, we lift up his name, for he's worthy to be praised. But we also humbly say, God, would you speak? Give me ears to hear, oh God, what you're saying. God, would you speak to my soul? Prepare my heart. And we walk in obedience to it. The people didn't walk in obedience to God. He turned and says, they will not enter my rest. God, when God speaks, we must obey immediately. We need to walk in obedience to him and say, okay, Holy Spirit, what you're saying, let me walk in obedience. It's one thing to listen, but if you're not walking in obedience, what's the point of even listening to what God says? So if whatever God is speaking into you, would you walk in obedience to that? And so to kind of recap, on Sunday we had a time of just kind of closing this out with worship, and obviously we can't do that right now, but I want you to think here today is the importance of worship, of who we are worshiping. We're worshiping the great God, the great creator of heavens and earth, the King above all, the owner of the universe, owns all things, the maker who sustains us, the shepherd who guides us, the rock of our salvation. We are worshiping Jesus. And it's not just on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock or whenever you're watching this. We can worship him all the time. We get to worship God. And we do that through singing. We do that through shouting. We do that through kneeling. We do that through humbly listening. We do that through praise and thanksgiving. Reading his word, and I say, oh God, speak and let me walk in obedience. So I want to encourage you to have a life style of worship, a lifestyle of recognizing the King on a daily basis, a lifestyle of recognizing who God is on a daily basis, that you worship him, that you walk in according to what he has called you to do. God is moving. He is an amazing, awesome God. We put our faith, we put our trust, we put our hope in the sovereign King of this universe. And we worship him. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have, not only on Sundays, but every day, to worship you, to sing songs of praise, to reflect on your glory, to reflect on your goodness, to reflect on your reverence in who you are. God, may we sing all the more. May we shout all the more. May we bow all the more. May we praise and give you thanks all the more. May we listen and walk in obedience all the more, because you are worthy of it all. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you this coming Sunday. Hopefully we won't have technical difficulties. God bless you. Have a great week, everyone.